Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us once again, andweknow.com/gold in the description box below. Just click on that link. You'll be able to have the same conversation I'm having now with Dr. Kirk Elliott about your precious metals and more. And we're just glad to have you back. So much has been going on. I've been reporting on just daily goings on, and it's just one thing after another seems to be waking up our nation. More and more people are waking up to the fact that the Democrat Party is not who they pretend to be, and it's getting ugly for them. And at the same time, we're watching them pull off an election theft once again, as they don't require a voter ID. They're fighting against the voter rolls because they've got, you know, folks on there that are illegals. But no, nope, we've got to go in there and fight and say we want those people back on there. And so they're doing all they can to almost show the whole world what they do to cheat in these elections. Just a very interesting time for all of us to watch this play out. And the best part for me is just noticing throughout social media, Dr. Elliott, that people have had enough and the wake up has finally happened.
I mean, it is. We just got, you know, the stupid voter guides that you get in the mail or email, you know, before every election. And in Denver, there's a ballot initiative that says you don't need to be a citizen of the United States to be a police officer or fireman. It's like, what? So,
whoa, man.
All right. So what are they going to do? Hire all the Venezuelan gang members that have gotten into Denver and say, oh, you can be a cop. That's just fine.
That'd be something.
I mean, but here's the thing. It's like all this stuff creates chaos and a larger need for the government, right? What they think is going to happen. It's like, well, if you can't have peace in your city, well, the government can take care of you. If you run out of money, the government can take care of you. And so everything that they need to do, they think that they can do it by controlling people, right? Creating such havoc that people will give up their freedoms. And I saw this poll. Actually, it was on Wednesday. I saw a poll. Trump, amongst, I don't know, it was like 8,000 voters or however many they polled, 65% to 35% was winning. 65 to 35. Well, to me, it's like, okay, this is kind of alarming in the sense of it's so much of a landslide. What is the left going to do to stop it?
Yep.
Right? I mean, so it's like, okay, this is going to create chaos and mayhem. And I think the next 3 or 4 weeks is going to be absolutely bonkers, right? Absolutely crazy. And you and I have talked before, can't remember if it was on air or off the air. It's like, okay, let's say Trump wins in a landslide. What are they going to do then? Are they just going to not certify the votes in, you know, 4 or 5 liberal states and say, well, you know, he was convicted of a crime or whatever. And it's like, he can't be president. So I don't know where this ends. Yeah. I don't know where it ends, but I was reading this week, Psalm 106, and it was the first 15 verses of Psalm 106, where like the first 5 verses, it's like this praise. It's like, oh, we thank you for the blessing that you've given us. You delivered us from Egypt. You know, you parted the Red Sea and you know, so, but then it changed. It changed from worship and praise to identifying the fact that Israel was sinners. And it's like, okay, now it's like this, woe is me. And, you know, we started to go down this other path. We forgot that you parted the Red Sea. We forgot that manna came down from heaven. We forgot that you delivered us out of slavery in Egypt. And they started worshiping false gods and idols and things of that nature. And then it becomes real interesting because end of this 15 verses, it says, and this is my interpretation, right? It's like my paraphrase. God is such a gentleman that sometimes he gives us what we ask for, right? So what happened is Israel pushed God out of society. They started worshiping other gods. They forgot. They had a lack of gratitude for everything that he had saved them from. They started living these horrible lives. They started to forget what God had done. And so then what did he give them? He granted them their wish. I'll give you society without me. And in replacement of that, you're going to have poverty of soul, right? You're gonna have leanness of soul. And this is where I see America right now is like, we have poverty of soul. It followed the exact same path when we'd read through the Old Testament. It's like, boy, are the Israelites ever stupid? They keep making mistakes. Why are they wandering around the desert for so much? And why do they keep, you know, after God just delivered them, why do they worship false gods, right? And yet we're doing the same thing. We're doing the exact same thing. It's like, because I think people are people throughout time. And here's the sad thing, LT. We're going to get what we get. We get what you get when you kick God out.
Yeah.
Right. And so my prayer is that there is enough of a remnant, enough of a people that wake up and pray and lean into God rather than be, you know, repulsed by him as a country. And we can turn this thing around. But you can't. So everything that we're seeing is not a shocker to me. You can't have good politics with an absence of God. You can't have a strong economy with an absence of God.
Right.
You can't have anything that's good with an absence of him, because it's impossible to have moral leadership with a void of God. We don't have that as just humans without Jesus, right? We just don't.
Right.
So when we see the economy where it is and banks failing and people running out of money and living basically a lifestyle of debt, all of these anti-biblical things, right? And it's like, well, of course we're going to get what we get. So then we as believers have to navigate through this and identify it, like the verse in Second Chronicles, you know, it's the lineage of all these people, and it's like the sons of Issachar, or maybe this was in, do you remember where the sons of Issachar was? Was this in the mighty men of David, or was this in just some lineage? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But the verse says they understood the times and they knew what to do.
Right.
Right. So a lot of times when God is just listing, somebody begat somebody else, and then there's always somebody who actually he points out something about them. It's like, he wants us to know this. Well, the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what to do. And this is my prayer for this generation, is we can identify the trends. We can identify the things that we should stay away from, identify the things that we should grab onto, and we can get this nation back. I haven't lost hope. In fact, I have more hope than ever, because what you just said, people are waking up.
Yes, they are. Yep. And that takes us to one of the first sections of today, other parts of the earth, what's going on with the monetary system. You had this article that you shared with me, what to expect from the BRICS October summit that's coming up October 22nd, I believe. New currency announcement in next phase of a global monetary reset. That's a question. What's going on here?
So we've talked about the BRICS nations a lot over the last year. We've talked about central bank digital currency a lot over the last year, right? Well, so when you look at the BRICS meeting from a year ago in Durban, South Africa, Putin opened it up with a statement: "We're going to de-dollarize the world. It's our objective, and it's irreversible." People thought, "Oh, wow! Is he just spouting off? Is he just being Putin, or what is he now?" Right. So now, a year later, they're having another meeting, and what has changed since then? Well, what's changed since then is in January they added Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, into the BRICS nations. Okay, but now, what happens on October 22nd, in just like a few days, they actually officially make those countries, not just in name and not just in practice, but actually part of the BRICS plus nations. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be ratified in. Well, at this point, then you get economic cooperation, you get military cooperation. It's like the Eurozone countries. It's like NATO, kind of. It's like the G20 or the G7. So they've got this new power block, which is 50% of the world. So they're going to actually announce that. They are going to announce their unit of exchange, how this is what we've been speculating for a long time. The BRICS nations are going to come up with their own BRICS unit of currency, right? So instead of using other countries in the BRICS nations, like the the South African rand or the you know Chinese yuan or the Russian ruble or the Indian rupee. They want to have their own common currency, right? So I think they're going to announce this. They're also going to announce their payment system, you know, which is like SWIFT, you know, in the United States and the West. SWIFT system has ruled the world, right? It's how banks send money to each other.
Right.
Well, when Biden kicked basically Russia out of the SWIFT system, when Russia in attacked Ukraine and they went to war, and the United States says, well, we love Ukraine and we hate you, Russia, right? What happened with all of that? Well, Putin went to China and said, hey, China, we got kicked out of the SWIFT system. They're going to starve out our people. So then, you know, China said, don't worry, we got SIPS. We've got the Chinese international payment system, you know, cross-border interbank payment system. So this is the version of SWIFT that the BRICS nations are now using. They got rid of all of these sanctions against Russia. It's like, okay, use ours. This will allow interbank transfer. So they've got a payment system established now. And then they also, in one of the articles I sent you, it talks about the four pillars of what is what China wants to do, right? So what do they want to do? They want to be the world's reserve currency. They want to replace the US dollar. Well, with those pillars, you need Project Enbridge, which we've talked about. Right. Well, what's Project Enbridge? That's the cross-border payment platform, digital, that actually brings gold into the mix. Hmm. Because it's guesstimated that the new BRICS currency unit is going to be 60% backed by gold, 40% backed by assets of the member countries. It's like, okay, this is interesting, right? So now you need a mechanism that's going to pull all of this stuff together. They've got that Bank for International Settlements developed with China, Project Enbridge, right? And now you've got SIPS to actually do all the bank transactions between each other. If they have their own currency unit, now the one thing that they still have to get rid of is the US dollar. That's the fourth pillar, is absolutely de-dollarize the world. And this is what this meeting on October 22nd through 24th is all about, in their own words, right? As you look at their agenda, this is what they want to talk about. This is what they want to accomplish. So now it's like this no holds barred, we're going to get this done, but they still possibly need something else. They've got, so you look at the countries, granted it's 50% of the world's population, but right. Then they added the oil producers of the world. Well, what else are they going to add? So they're also going to announce the other countries that they're going to add into this mix. And this is what becomes really interesting. So who's going to be added to BRICS? If we scroll down, there's like a multicolored chart.
Okay, at the bottom, yep.
Yep, right, and it's the paragraph right after that. So who are they going to add? Over two dozen countries: Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, another oil producer, right? Bangladesh, Belarus, Bolivia, Cuba, Kazakhstan, Myanmar, Nigeria, Pakistan, Senegal, Thailand, Venezuela, another huge oil producer, Vietnam. They're just waiting in the wings.
Oh,
right. So imagine the next BRICS meeting where these people who have already applied for membership, these countries, now they're going to admit them. Now you've got 70% of the world's population. You control most of the oil in the world. And you've got not just Asian-centric BRICS, but you've got Cuba, you've got Venezuela, you've got Western, you know, hemisphere countries. It's like, wow. And Turkey. Turkey is the biggest one, because now you've got the largest country in the Middle East with the largest military, who happens to be a member of NATO.
That's right.
So now what? What is Turkey going to do if they go to BRICS? They're going to pull out of NATO? Or what's going to happen? I mean, so that's a very destabilizing effect in the Middle East.
Right.
And this is part of what the BRICS nations want to do. The premier of China and Putin are not dumb. They know to be the world's world reserve currency, they need to destabilize the world for people to accept it. And this is exactly what they're doing economically, military, politically, all of it. And so as you look at this kind of stuff, it's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the banking system? Right. As we lose dollar value, we go to massive inflation. Everything we have is going to be more expensive. They're going to have to raise interest rates to slow down that inflation. Right. That means people are not, who are already living at the margin, paycheck to paycheck, are going to start defaulting on their loans. The banking system is going to get hit hard. It's like, oh, no wonder, LT, why we've talked about Warren Buffett dumping his Bank of America shares.
Oh, that's right.
Right, because he's getting rid of it. And so here's the interesting thing that just happened this week. So when you're a large shareholder like he is, whenever you own more than 10% of a company, everything that you do has to be public, right? You got to report it.
Correct.
So this last tranche of liquidations of Bank of America shares that Berkshire Hathaway made, which is Warren Buffett, they fell below 10%. It's now like 9.99% ownership of BOA. So over $7 to $8 billion of Bank of America shares have been sold since July. Now he's under 10%. So now he can trade in secret. He could get rid of all of them. And we don't know because it doesn't need to be reported because it's under 10%. Huh. So as we're getting to this point, you're watching this trend. It's like, wow, what does Warren Buffett see that the rest of the world might not see? Right, because he's part of the establishment. He's part of the World Economic Forum. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world. He doesn't see the banking system is doing well at all. Right? And so neither do other banks. Like so how do we know? Because Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, lowered interest rates by 50 basis points at the last meeting. He also indicated we're going to lower interest rates by 50 basis points in December, and a couple of times in 2025, we'll lower them another quarter each to each.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're lowering interest rates, don't you think that like credit card rates would come down? Mortgage interest rates would come down? They should.
Right.
They're lowering interest rates, but they're not. In fact, mortgage rates have been going up over the last week.
Oh, wow.
What? How could mortgage rates be going up? Well, because the bank interbank lending rate, which is coming down, which is what the Fed announced, banks have their own risk profile. Like if you were a bank, LT, and you're taking this really hard risk of saying, all right, John Doe and Jane Smith, you know, we're going to give you a 30-year mortgage on your house. I have no idea what the economy is going to look like 30 years from now. We don't even know what it's going to look like tomorrow. I have no idea if you're going to have a job if the economy is looking so soft. We don't even know if we're going to be the world's reserve currency. If we're going to go into a banking crisis, we're going to have to unload our assets. We don't know, right? So what do? They raise their interest rates and say, if we're going to loan some money out to people, we better be getting a higher return on that because this is very risky for us to try to look 30 years into the future and determine, are we going to get all of our payments back, right? Mm-hmm. So this is why the fact that mortgage interest rates are going up while the Fed is lowering interest rates tells us one thing. Banks know that the economy is on shaky ground. They don't trust that it's going to look good moving forward, right? So as we're considering all of these different options, And debt has surpassed $1 trillion for the first time ever. The interest payments on our debt, I should say, have surpassed $1 trillion for the first time. We are faced, we're like the first generation in the history of the world to see the power shift that we're going to see, where the reserve currency status on a global scale, the US dollar, is going elsewhere. It's like currencies have collapsed before. Yes, but it's never been to the scale of this, right? Where you're the absolute reserve currency, all international settlements turning, for trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars a year. Now, well, Kirk, the United Kingdom, you know, Britain used to be the world's reserve currency. That was an international currency. Yes, right. They failed, but it wasn't to the magnitude of the debt that we now have amassed, right? Because now we have a world that's completely interconnected. It's completely globalized, international trade. You've got all these different factors that we've never had before. You didn't have this in the early 1900s and late 1800s when the British pound sterling was a reserve currency, mm-hmm. or before that, when the Portuguese currency was the world's reserve currency, or the Greek currency, right? It's like, right. Well, I mean, back then you had like a few ships going back and forth, right? It wasn't to this magnitude. This is going to be a doozy. And now you've got the ramifications of digital dollars to replace it. And this is exactly what I think was written about in Revelation, how you have this mark of the beast, right? Who in their right mind would actually accept that? Who? No, nope. Yeah. But what if you're, and I actually did this little test. I was talking to somebody that goes to my church, and we were just talking about, they know that I'm an economist, right? And we were just talking, it's like, what would you do? I said, would you ever take the mark of the beast? And they said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I wouldn't either. I said, what would you do if you were told that, you know, you're a retiree, or your mom or your grandma, right? They're getting Social Security. And if they don't, you know, give their fingerprint to the government, they can't get their Social Security checks. What would you recommend to them? Or what would you do yourself? It's like, well, man, if it's just, you know, for safety and stuff, yeah, we'd give our fingerprints. I said, but what if that's part of the mark of the beast? They said, well, that can't be. It's like, but what if it was? What if it meant you don't get food, you can't have any money, you get cut off from your bank account unless you give your fingerprints?
Oh, wow.
And they said, well, this wouldn't ever happen. I said, oh, yeah, it just didn't quite, right? And I talked about what we talked about last week,
right,
on the show.
Right, right.
And it's like they're cutting off their bank accounts because they won't give their biometric ID. And I said, do you think that that's the mark of the beast? Literally, the answer was, well, maybe it is. I said, but what would you do? Would you take it? What if you had no food? What if you couldn't pay your rent or you couldn't pay your mortgage? What if you couldn't actually heat your house, or you have kids and you couldn't feed them because you don't have access to your money? What would you do? The answer wasn't as cut and dried this time. It's like, I don't know. It's like, what? So this is where, you know, you read the Bible and you think, who in their right mind would I know who the Antichrist is, identify the mark of the beast, and still take it?
Right, right.
It's weird to fathom. This is why I want to get this message out to as many people, so it doesn't sneak up on them. And they can be prepared. They can have something that's outside of this digital system, like gold or silver, right? And that they can barter with, that they can use in times of crisis. Or it's just a great investment. Don't even think apocalyptic scenario, right? Just think, this is a great investment. Silver's up over 40% in the last 5 months. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is.
To me, it's more than just a great investment. It is a mechanism to maintain freedom.
That's right. That's right. Now, did you want to share something about this bank facing $3 billion in penalties?
Yeah. So Warren Buffett getting out of banks, right? He's getting out of Bank of America. TD Bank, Toronto Dominion, it's a Canadian bank, got a $3 billion penalty for basically not being so crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and there's been money laundering going on, right? So what did the regulator say? It's like, you have got to limit your operations in America. So now you've got one of the largest banks in North America say you can't do as much in America, and they're money laundering, and the regulators are cracking down. Again, this brings crisis, and it doesn't take too much. The reason I wanted to talk about this it doesn't take too much for there to be a run on the banks. Because what if people see, wow, TD Bank, they're massive. Like, that was TD Ameritrade, right? It's like, right, we're now connected with Schwab, and they got a $3 billion. Are they going to be able to stay in business? Well, what about my small little bank, right? And then people start pulling money out of the banks if they start to sniff problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason I bring this up is because this is how Silicon Valley Bank started, right? It's like somebody sniffed a problem. They tried to pull money out. There wasn't enough money there. They went under. And then this contagion started to First Republic Bank and Signature Bank and Silvergate Bank and Credit Suisse. And it's like, oof, this can happen so quickly. And we're starting to see the fracturing in the banking system. And I keep going back to Warren Buffett because he's a very smart, intelligent investor. He wouldn't be worth multiple billions of dollars if he wasn't. Yeah. He's getting out of the banking system.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
he knows what's coming.
He knows. Yep. Yeah. These reports are amazing. And the warnings have been sent constantly, especially about BRICS. What a great update. Wow. I mean, we've got so much to look into, especially when it comes to our money. And precious metals seem to be the one stronghold, the one place biblically where we can hold on to and realize that parallel economy is right there in front of us. We just need to reach out and touch base with you to make sure this all comes together. And so we appreciate that. AmWeKnow.com/gold in the description box below. You can reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, and they'll help you out. So amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Elliott. We look forward to the next update coming up soon.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.